We're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Yutesam and Aleph. We're holding five lines from the top. Let's recap what we've seen so far. We're discussing whether Megillas Tanis, the holidays that were instituted in the period of the Second Temple, was that absolved after the destruction of the Second Temple or not. We brought a machlokas. Rav Yochanan and Rav Yoshua ben Levi said lo batla, they were not absolved. Rav and Rav Chanina said they were absolved. And we started asking about that. Now, one of the questions we asked was that it says in Megillas Tanis that on the 3rd of Tishrei, they stopped, they made a holiday because on that day, they stopped mentioning Hashem's name in the legal documents. The rabbis had to annul the institution of the Hasmonean Empire to mention Hashem's name in legal documents. The rabbis said, ultimately, when people pay back the loan, then the document's going to go in the garbage. You can't put Hashem's name on that. So when they were successful, they made a holiday. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. If Megillas Tanis is no longer relevant, so then why make a new institution? The Gemara says, well, that was part of Megillas Tanis. That was done in that period. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If that was instituted in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, so then what do I need another holiday on the 3rd of Tishrei? The 3rd of Tishrei is its own holiday because it was Tzom Gedalia, which we said on the previous Amud, that all the fast days revolving around the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, they all became holidays. So if that's what's going on, so I don't need it. I don't need another holiday on the 3rd of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, well, the reason that they had to institute this holiday on the 3rd was because the days that were instituted in Megillas Tanis, you were prohibited from fasting or eulogizing not only on that day, but also on the day prior to it. So Tzom Gedalia was a holiday on the 3rd. Now that they instituted another day of celebration in honor of the honor of Hashem's name on the 3rd of Tishrei, not only was the 3rd a day of celebration, but also on the 2nd you wouldn't fast. So the Gemara asked, well, the 2nd you wouldn't fast anyways, because that's the day after Rosh Chodesh. The 1st of Tishrei is Rosh Chodesh. And you wouldn't fast the day after a celebration. So the Gemara says, no. When do I say you don't fast the day after or the day before? That's when it's a rabbinic institution. Rosh Chodesh is biblical. Biblical things don't need my backup. The whole idea of prohibiting the day before or the day after from fasting is to ensure that you don't miss that day. So rabbinic institutions need extra cushioning. So you say the day before, the day after. Yeah, you don't end up annulling the day. It was very hard. You institute a day of celebration. Not everyone's going to accept. It could be the greatest miracle in the world. Yom Yerushalayim. Look, we got back in Yerushalayim. So initially everyone says, yeah, it's great, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And 10 years later, suddenly not everyone's saying that. So the rabbis had to make an institution in a way that it's going to last. It's going to stick.
By having the next day as the day of summer celebration.
Right. By making the day before and the day after. So that's a way of helping to ensure that day won't get lost. But biblical things don't require that same cushioning because they're written in the Torah. They're not going anywhere. Ditanyo, I'll prove it to you. We're holding five lines from the top. The Braisa says like this. Hayamim eile aktuvim b'Megillat Tanit. The days that are written in Megillas Tanis, asurin ben nifneim ben achayim, you're prohibited from fasting, be it the day before or the day after. Shabbatot v'yamim tovim hem asurin nifneim ben achayim mutarim. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast on the Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you're allowed to fast on the day before Shabbos or the day after Shabbos, the day before Yom Tov or the day after Yom Tov. Ma efresh ben zeh lazeh, what's the difference? Halalu divrei Torah, ve'en divrei Torah tzichin chizuk. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov are biblical. We don't need to strengthen things written in the Torah. Halalu divrei soferim. The things in Megillas Tanis are institutions of the rabbis. Ve'divrei soferim tzichin chizuk. And things that were instituted by the rabbis. Remember, the rabbis in the second Beit HaMikdash were called soferim, like Ezra HaSofer. So divrei soferim, the words of the rabbis, that tzichin chizuk, requires that we strengthen it. So that's why they had to prohibit the 3rd of Tishrei, because by prohibiting the 3rd of Tishrei, they also caused that the 2nd of Tishrei will be prohibited from fasting. So wait a second. What about the fact that Tzom Gedalia is on the 3rd of Tishrei? Why do I need this new institution in Megillas Tanis to celebrate the saving of God's name from legal documents on the 3rd of Tishrei? That's the day of Tzom Gedalia, which you're saying this is all taking place during the 2nd Beit HaMikdash. So Tzom Gedalia is a day of celebration. Ah, you'll tell me I wanted to gain that on the 2nd of Tishrei you won't fast. Well, maybe you shouldn't fast on the 2nd of Tishrei because it's the day before Tzom Gedalia. The reverted Tzom Gedalia into the day of celebration for Gedalia. Amar Vashi, Gedalia v'nachikam divrei kabalahu. Vashi says, Tzom Gedalia is really something that's recorded in the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im is divrei kabalah. It's things we had on tradition from the time of Moshe. Along came the Nevi'im and they wrote down the concepts.
It wasn't a happy day.
It says in Zechariah that these days would be reverted to days of happiness. They asked Zechariah, should we still fast? Zechariah said, oh, now, what are you fasting for? You have a temple. So, that's Divrei Kabbalah. With Divrei Kabbalah, ki Divrei Torah Damu. So they also don't need strengthening. Things that are in the Nevi'im, you don't need to strengthen, and that's why, technically, just for Tzom Gedalia, that now became a holiday in the second Beit HaMikdash, you would be allowed to fast on Beis Tishrei on the day before it. By instituting a day of celebration in honor of Hashem's name that would no longer be in documents and then ultimately treated improperly, you did gain that the second of Tishrei would also be prohibited from fasting. Mativ Rav Tuvi Bar Matna. Rav Tuvi Bar Matna asks, it says in the Braisa, Be'eslim v'timnaya bey, 28 into the month of Adar, this is a quote from Megillas Tanis, Atat besuta tavta lihudai. A good word, good news came to the Jewish people. Delo yeidun meohaita, that they won't have to sever their ties from the Torah. Shegazra hamalchut gzera shelo yasku betorah, because the authorities decreed that they wouldn't deal in Torah. Vishelo yamulu et neem, and they shouldn't circumcise their sons. Vishechalelu shabbatot, and that they should desecrate the Shabbos. Ma'asa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav, what Yehuda ben Shamua and his friends do? Halechu v'natelu etza mimatonita achat, shekol gdolei romi mitzuin etzla. They went to this woman of nobility, and they asked her advice. All the politicians used to come to her. So they asked her advice. They took an advisor. They asked her, what do we do? Amalem bo v'afginu balayla. She said, I'll tell you what you do. Go through the marketplaces and through the streets at night and make a protest, call out and ask for their mercy, and then all the nobility will hear you, and that'll move them. If at night they hear you protesting, they'll have mercy over you. So they went out at night, amru, and they said, Ei Shamayim, in the name of God, lo achechem anachnu, aren't we brethren? Your whole point is that we're all equals. What are you making decrees against us? V'lo b'nei av echad anachnu? Aren't we all descendants from one man? V'lo b'nei em achat anachnu? Aren't we all descendants from the same mother? Ma nishtaninu mikol umah v'lashon shetem gozrim aleinu gzerot kashot? Why are you persecuting us? This is religious persecution. Why are we different than all the other nations? If you prick us, do we not bleed? Oh, so they go out and protest. Uvitilum, and it worked. They were moved. So that day that they were able to annul the decree, they moved the nobility to remove the decree. They made it into a holiday. Okay, so that's the 28th of Adar. That's the story behind the celebration in the second Beit HaMikdash on the 28th of Adar.
What's this thing of Abba from one father?
I guess. You see, sometimes we gotta walk their walk and talk their talk. So, if Megillas Tanis is not relevant, kamaita batul achinyaita mosifin. If the whole Megillas Tanis was annulled, what'd they institute a new holiday for? The Gemara is assuming at this point that this whole story took place after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. You'll tell me, no, this story took place in the period of the Beit HaMikdash. That's why it's still in Megillas Tanis. That doesn't work historically. Because Yehuda ben Shamua was a disciple of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir batar hachiyave. Rabbi Meir lived after the second Beit HaMikdash. Why? Rashi explains. Rabbi Meir batar churban hava. Kama dorot. It was a few generations after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. How so? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai charev abayit. The destruction of the Beit HaMikdash was in the days of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Eliezer Talmido Haya. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five prime disciples. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, right? We know from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Akiva Talmido Shel Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva was a disciple of Rabbi Eliezer. Skip two lines. Rabbi Meir Talmido Shel Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Meir was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so if Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua was a disciple of Rabbi Meir, who was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva, who was a disciple of Rabbi Eliezer, who was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived during the period of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so it seems like this whole story happened after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So if you're telling me when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they annulled Megillas Tanis, so then how come we have this whole story in Megillas Tanis? That certainly seems to say that they made new institutions after the destruction. And if the old institutions were gone, what were they making new institutions for? I'll prove to you that I'll prove to you that Yehuda ben Shamua was a disciple of Rabbi Meir. Ditanan, the Mishnah tells us, if you have a glass vessel and it became tamei, and then you made a hole in the glass vessel, so now it's tahor because it no longer could hold any liquid, and then you dip into it some lead to fill the hole. Amar Hashbag, Yehuda ben Shamua mitamei mishum Rabbi Meir. Yehuda ben Shamua says it goes back, it reverts back to its old tumah, and he quotes that in the name of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim mitarin. The machlokas between them revolves around the question, how do you view a glass vessel that has a hole and it has lead filling that hole? So that lead that's filling the hole is called the ma'amid. That's what's holding in everything. That's what gives it the capacity to work as a vessel. Right? If you have the hole, you can't drink a cup of wine. And the lead is what makes the rest of the glass work as a vessel. So Chachamim say, you look at the vessel and you say, 98% of this vessel is glass, 1% is lead, this is a glass vessel. Rabbi Meir says, no. Hakol olech achar ha-ma'amid. Rabbi Meir says, you look at the vessel before you put in the lead, and you have no vessel, right? It's not a valid, it's not a functioning vessel. The tumah left. In a second, we'll explain in 1 second. Rabbi Meir says, when you made a hole, it lost its shem kli. It is no longer a vessel. So far, so good? Okay. Now, you put in lead, so then the lead is what brings it back to the status of being a vessel. So Rabbi Meir holds, if the lead is what gave it the name of a vessel, so then it's considered a lead vessel. It's a kli matchot. Why? Because olchim achar ha-ma'amid. You go by the thing that gives it the status of a vessel. So far we're good? Okay, now pause. Let's shift for a minute, and then we'll put the two stories together. So right now we understand the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, right? Okay. New sugya. There was a story, Gemara and Shabbos. I think it was Shlem Tzion the queen. I think it was her. One of the queens. I think it was Shlem Tzion, who was about to have a party. And the day before the party, someone died in the house. And all her beautiful gold and silver goblets became tamei. So what does she do? She goes to the blacksmith. She says, drill a hole in all the vessels. Oh, what should she do? Technically, she should take it, have the parah aduma water sprinkled on it on the third day and the seventh day, and then it's tahor, fine. She doesn't have time to wait 7 days. So what does she do? She goes to the blacksmith. She says, I got a brilliant idea. You come here, you drill a hole in every cup. They lose their status of a vessel. After you finish that, now go fix all the cups. Good. And one day, one shot deal. I fixed all my vessels. Along come the rabbis, and they say, no can do. We make a new decree. It doesn't work, Mrs. Queen. We respect you. We love you. But we're not going to let you get away with it. Why? Because people are going to think, that vessel was Tomei Tumas Mace this morning. Tonight it's Torah. I guess it's enough to take it to the mikveh. So the rabbi said, rabbinic institution, klei matchot, if you have metal vessels that have tumah, and you make a hole, and you fill that hole, so klei matchot, they revert back to their old tumah. Now let's put the two stories together. Along comes Rabbi Meir and says, this glass vessel, that's a metal vessel now. If it's a metal vessel, so then it goes back to the tumah yeshana. Goes back to the old tumah, just like in metal vessels, we have the takana that they made because the queen wanted to do a quick fix. They said if she's going to do it, everyone's going to do it. Everyone's going to do it. You're going to absolve the whole concept of parah duma water on vessels. People are going to think ultimately it's enough to go to mikveh with your metal vessels. That's not true. So they said you can't. You make a hole in the metal vessel and you fill it up. The old tumah comes back in midrabanan. So now this vessel, says Rabbi Meir, if the mamid is metal, if you dipped it, you drop metal into it to close the hole. Now I look at the glass vessel as a metal vessel. So I'm even going to go so far as to say that the old tumah comes back. You'll tell me, but when it got its first tumah, it was glass. Good question. Leave that for Tosus and Rashi and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos really discusses this. This is where the whole gzer is. The whole gzer is really in Shabbos in the first parak. But that's the story in a nutshell. This is Bekius. So the Gemara has hereby proven that in Megillas Tanis you have holidays that were instituted after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. And if that's so, that seems to be a clear proof that Megillas Tanis was not annulled with the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, because if it was, they wouldn't have made new stuff in it. So the Gemara says, okay, you got me. Tanoi, you're right. It's really a machlokes tanoi. Whether Megillas Tanis was annulled or not. Titania, we have the following brisa. Hayamim elu aktuvim b'mgilat Tanit, ben bizman shebet HaMikdash kayam, ben bizman shein bet HaMikdash kayam, asurin divrei Rabbi Meir. So it's very good. See, Rabbi Meir holds that it continues after the Beis HaMikdash destruction, and his student, Rabbi Yehuda ben Shamua, well, he's going in his footsteps. So that's why in Megillas Tanis, you have the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Shamua and an institution from him. Well, that's fine, because Rabbi Meir really holds that Megillas Tanis continues after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Omer and Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yossi. Most Tanon versus Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yossi. Bizman shebet HaMikdash kayam asurin mipnei shesimchai lahim. In the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, it is prohibited because then it was really cause for rejoicing. In Beit HaMikdash kayam, but once the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, mutarin mipnei she'evelu lahim. Then all the holidays mentioned in Megillat Tanit are permitted because now we can mourn those days. What are you celebrating for? Oh, that's history. Now the Beit HaMikdash is gone. Ve'ilchita batlu, ve'ilchita lo batlu. So the halach is that the holidays mentioned in Megillas Tanis are annulled. The halach is that the holidays mentioned in Megillas Tanis are not annulled. What are you talking about? Kasha ilchita ilchita. You seem to contradict what the two halachas you just said. Lo kasha. Kan b'chanukah puim kan b'shal yamim. Well, it depends. With regard to Chanukah and Purim, we say Chanukah and Purim were instituted initially in Megillas Tanis. They're still relevant. Those holidays that we still keep. All the other holidays mentioned in Megillas Tanis are not relevant. They're all history. That's the halacha. Now about Chanukah and Purim, there's a big discussion in halacha. When we say Chanukah and Purim remain, well, we just learned that all the days in Megillas Tanis, not only are those days prohibited, but the day beforehand is prohibited from fasting, and the day afterwards is prohibited. Well, we fast the day before Purim. We have Tanis Esther. Are you allowed to fast or eulogize the day before Purim, the day before Hanukkah, the day after? So that's a big discussion in halacha. When we say the Chanukah and Purim remained, although Megillas Tanis is batel, so the simple understanding is Chanukah and Purim and all that come with them. From the way we practice Tanis Esther, it would seem that no, Chanukah and Purim alone remain. What about the day before Chanukah and Purim? The day after Chanukah and Purim? Do whatever you want. You see, that's what we do. The day before Purim, we fast.
That's because it's part of the whole
thing. Tanis Esther doesn't appear in the Gemara. Simple reading of the Gemara, it doesn't appear. There's a discussion when the Gemara says, your gimel's man ki la lakoli, what does the Gemara mean by that? But the simple reading of the Gemara doesn't appear in the Shas. Now, there's a Chasam Sofer that discusses a child that becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos. And Tanis Esther, and the Tanis is a nidche. So, does the child fast or not? So the Chasam Sofer wants to discern between the different Tanisim. He says every Tanis other than Tanis Esther is over something that's sorrowful. So every Tanis, what are we fasting? We're mourning the past. If it's mourning, so then a child is not involved in mourning. There's no din chinuch in mourning. So he for sure doesn't have that. He didn't have the chiyuv on Shabbos. He also doesn't have the chiyuv when it's a nidche. Because he never had the original chiyuv. I, by Sunday, is bar mitzvah. Yeah, but when the original chiyuv landed, it wasn't relevant to him. Ain't avelus bekotten. We don't do any chinuch in avelus. But if the Tanis is not about fasting, the Tanis is about tshuva, like the Rambam says, the whole focus of the Tanis is not that I'm lamenting the past. It's that I have to fix myself. I have to learn from the mistakes of the past to be a better person to ensure that those tragedies don't repeat themselves.
People argue on that.
That's a discussion. Well, what's the focus of a Tanis? Well, if that's the focus, and there's room to discern between the different Tanis, and if that's the focus, so then he has a chinuch of doing tshuva too. So then that is relevant then. And then Tanis Esther Bichlal. There I'm not lamenting the past. So what am I doing? Okay, good question. We're out of time.